Want to make mom's day? Get to your Nordstrom Rack now and score amazing deals for Mother's Day, which is Sunday, May 12th. Find tons of gifts from only $30 at Nordstrom Rack. Fragrance, jewelry, luxury bags, activewear, beauty, and more. Save on Kate Spade New York, Stuart Weitzman, and Ted Baker London. Great brands, great prices. So shop your Nordstrom Rack store today and treat mom to the good stuff from just $30.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hi everyone, I'm Joanna, and this is Hyphenated, the podcast about living in the hyphen. And today I'm really excited because I have a guest who, he's one of my best friends, okay? I'll say it. I'll admit it. This is the first time I admit it to his face because we're one of those type of friends that are kind of mean to each other. But Philip Jeremic is joining me today. Philip is a Serbian-Canadian comedian. We actually worked together on the Disney show. We met writing a pilot produced by the Stephen Colbert that never saw the light of day several years ago. I've seen him on stage doing very, very funny characters, in particular one character called Saturday Jones, who is an Australian journalist. He's very funny, very bitchy. And ladies and gentlemen, Philip Jeremic. Hi, Philip.
Hi.
Is it okay I called you bitchy?
I couldn't think of, like, I was gonna really quickly be like, I don't like the way that you're running this. Just to, like, prove it. But yeah, I don't like the way you're running this. I think there's room for improvement.
There we go. I get, like, slightly bullied by Philip every day. A little bit of bullying. You keep me grounded, you know.
But so do you. That's our love language is, like, hateful words to each other.
I do think, which, you know, I warned you that it's something I really want to talk about in this pod. I literally can't believe I hadn't invited you on this yet.
Me neither.
Because I think we have a lot in common. Even though you're from Serbia. And how old were you when you left Serbia?
5.
You were 5.
Almost 6.
So you went from Serbia to Canada. Mm-hmm. And immediately, like, I can't imagine you not in an art school. Did you just immediately tell your parents, I'm going to art school? Like, how was that?
That's such a good question. I mean, I did in, like, middle school, but I'm sure when I was very little, there were signs that, like, that's where I was headed. Oh my God, you know what I did? I completely forgot about this till you just brought this up. We had this class in elementary school that was just, like, this, like, weird free... It was, like, a room where you just went and, like, did whatever you wanted. And I convinced the teacher to, like, wheel in a TV showing the movie Hocus Pocus. And I sat there with two other gay children. And I was like, we're going to write all the dialogue from this movie from start to finish. And we're going to, like, make it a play. And okay, I thought that's how you did it. And so we had to pause, like, constantly. And I was like, okay, so she said what? Okay, play. And then she said, and for a fucking hour and a half movie, I was just like, yeah, we can do this. Why not? And then obviously, like,
I think it's really funny. It's specifically Hocus Pocus, of course, which is just three witches.
Three witches.
Which was a prophecy for your future. You ended up being part of, what is it called?
A coven?
Witches. A coven. A coven.
I'm part of a coven? Who's in my coven? You?
Surprise. Yeah, we have to pick our third coven mate.
Oh my God. We do.
But you've talked a lot about growing up, sort of going to school, and then at home, it was like you were back in Serbia. Like, your parents are super Serbian.
Okay, yes. Okay, so my dad once, this is all you need to know. This is going to sound so mean and harsh, and people are going to be like, oh my God, that was horrible. But now I find it, like, absolutely hilarious. When I was little, we had, like, immigrated, and for a while, our... Like, we had a cardboard box for a coffee table. And then, like, our kitchen furniture was, like, outdoor, like, patio furniture. Because my parents were like, we need to save every fucking penny. I'm assuming I can swear on this show.
I mean, of course, it's my podcast.
Okay, thank God. So everything, but then like, as a kid, I was so like embarrassed by that. But then I got older and I was like, oh, the reason they were pinching pennies is because like they paid for our braces. They paid for us to go to school. Like, you know what I mean? But one Christmas I like came home from school and I was like, everybody at school is talking about like Christmas and how they have all these like presents under their tree. And like, we don't even have a Christmas tree and like, we don't have presents. And my dad leans down like to my level and in my face says, you live in Canada now? And that's a Christmas present you get every day of your life. Now get out of my sight.
Can I just say that explains your personality so well, because you have this, like, obviously you have a very good heart. You have this harshness, which I think is like a love language that I do think is very much related to this immigrant
100%
Balkan culture of like, what are you going to say? What are you going to, are you kidding me? Like, you're free. You're welcome.
I just can't stand like adults who whine. Like my boyfriend, when he's like unpacking a suitcase, he's just like, oh my God, I hate doing this. Like, I have to put, like, this goes in this drawer and then this has to be hung up. And I'm like, you know, you could do this without narrating. Like, just shut up. It's just like, you know who else unpacks a suitcase? Everyone. Shut up. So yeah,
I think the royal family actually doesn't unpack their suitcase. So you were wrong about that, Philip.
That's true. They don't. Or did you watch Saltburn when he shows up and he's like,
"Yes, I did.
They've hung my trousers in the closet." And he's like, "Oh yeah, they do that here. Sorry." Except they didn't have low class accents like that.
Oh yeah, they do that here. Sorry. Yes, I think it's more like that.
I should have warned you.
The accents are a little bit more airy. When you don't have to worry about people unpacking your shit, your accent can be more airy. It's like air. More like, oh yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, it's just air.
It's just air.
Okay, so you do a lot of characters.
Mm-hmm.
I did too. Do you think some of that
you did as well or you did too?
No, I did as well. I would imitate my mom. I'd imitate my grandparents. Because, like, all my grandparents had different accents. My grandfather on my dad's side spoke with a German accent. My grandmother spoke with a French accent. My maternal grandmother spoke with, like, a more Cuban accent. Mm-hmm. So, like, accents were in my house. And I think they inherently informed a lot of, like, my sensibilities as a comedian. And I've heard you do, like, the Serbian accent a lot and make fun of cultures a lot.
Yeah.
Do you recall what like the first, what's the first character you were other than a witch?
I actually was a witch on Halloween in second grade. Funny you should mention that. So this is what I mean. My parents knew. They're like, he wants to be a witch? Okay.
Wait, so your parents knew you were fabulous.
No, I think they like sort of were like, no, he just likes the theater. All his friends are girls. He must be a real ladies man. I think there was like a lot of that denial for a while. But then, you know, they were still assimilating to the culture.
Yeah.
But what was my first character? I don't know. As a kid, I guess I would like imitate my parents' friends like to them. That I must have been something like that, yeah.
Like you see what's around you and you're like, well, I guess this is crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, but like we've talked a lot about the Balkans and I really do think there's something similar between Latin America and like the Balkans or any Eastern European country. I think that when a country very recently has gone through incredible political strife or a lot of difficulty, there's this sense of humor that even though it might be manifested differently, at its core, it's very similar. Like, I remember going to the Czech Republic when I was a kid, and every time I'd say I was from Venezuela, all the Czech people would be like, oh my God, we love Venezuelan soap operas. And I'm like, wait, what? Why? That's so weird. Like two countries could not be more different. But there were some similarities there that that sort of resonated with each other. And like difficulty, you know, there's this like article that I really love. I think it's in The Atlantic. And it compares how jokes from Eastern Europe during the occupation, during like communism, these jokes, you see the exact same format of those jokes in Venezuela during like particularly in like 2016, when there were problems with food shortages and medicine shortages. And so there was a sense of humor that had to come out of this. And I really feel, I don't know, the moment I met you, I was like, I don't even have to explain my sense of humor at all. Like, you take the most horrifying moments of your life and you're like, yeah, I didn't get the job, and so I broke a vacuum cleaner in a fit of rage, and now I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by that.
I forgot about that. But you're so right. It's, I think just when, like, you as a people collectively have, like, gone through something, it just gives you a very different perspective on life, and you have, you kind of, like, realize, like, you know, what matters and what doesn't. And my brother and I talk about this all the time, where he's just like, because I grew up in Canada, he still lives in Toronto, and he'll be like, oh God, sometimes my Canadian friends, he's like, they'll just like complain about these things, and I'm like, he's like, what's the big deal? But no, I do think our humor is very similar. It's just like, I don't know, like, I've said, like, there's this joke that a friend of mine said to me. It's not even a joke. It's just, like, an expression. And I think it's hilarious. And I say it to non-Serbian people, and nobody finds it funny. And I'm like, it's so funny.
Wait, what is it?
And she speaks with a very thick accent. She's like, listen, if you have a problem and there is a solution, then you don't have a problem. If you have a problem and there is no solution, you don't have a problem. Because it's like, if there's nothing you can do about it, well, there's nothing you can do about it. And I think that's so funny. And I think people just don't get it. They're like, well, what do you mean? But if there's no solution, how do you not have a problem? And I'm like, because you're fucked. That's what she's saying. You're fucked. And you just got to roll with it.
Yeah, I think,
like, that's very funny to me.
I think it has to be funny to you, because if it isn't funny to you, it's somehow, life is somehow more tragic. Like,
yeah.
I think there's a resilience in that type of attitude. I wish I had it. Because I go to therapy, clearly, and I'm always trying to find solutions. But I think that, like, there's this resilience in humor that is necessary. Okay, wait. So we've talked a lot about the Balkans. And one of my favorite things is you describe a Balkan country, and then I assign it an equivalent Latin American country.
Oh, okay.
Can we do that for our listeners? So our listeners, a lot of our listeners, a lot of them aren't necessarily Latino, but a lot of them are. So I kind of want to, like, I don't know, introduce the Balkan countries in a way that is very, like, a simile. Like, this country is this country, so then they understand, like, where, you know, where these countries are coming from, okay? Mm-hmm. So, all right, first, I know Serbia was a little bit of a bad boy, but in history, but, like, how would you describe Serbia?
Okay, I'm going to try and describe all of them without getting any facts wrong and people being like, this fucking Serb, he doesn't know any stupid, he doesn't fucking know any of this shit. Okay, so when it was the former Yugoslavia, it was a number of countries that have now since split apart. And Belgrade, which is the capital of Serbia, was like the seat of the government of the former Yugoslavia. So that was like, you know, headquarters, baby. Mm-hmm. And I think, I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure that Belgrade is the most populated city in the Balkans. It must be. I'm gonna want to look this up, but I think it must be. So yeah, there's just like Serbia is like, I don't know, I guess they think they're like the main one, and Belgrade is like a pretty cool cosmopolitan city, and then each of the countries, like, they speak, many of them speak the same language with different accents, but they also have different religions, so, you know, that's where things get a little dicey.
Oh, that's where the whole, like, you know, not, you know, liking each other comes in.
Yeah, partially.
Ethnicity and religion. Okay.
But it's so funny. Like, it's not necessarily true for everyone. Like, I've had really weird interactions. Like I know multiple people who are half Serbian and half Croatian. So, like, clearly their families are, like, cool and they have no beef. But then once, maybe it's certain generations. I remember, this is the gayest thing ever, I had to buy an antique phone on Craigslist for, like, a play that I wrote in, this was in Toronto, and I, like, wrote this, like, three-act comedy. It was, our final project in theater school, and, like, I'm so going on a tangent here, but anyway, We're going to get back to the point. There was this like phone that was center stage, and it was like a really big part of the story. Like people were always on this phone, and it had to be like tacky and ridiculous. So anyway, I find the perfect one on Craigslist, and I go like to the lady's house to buy it, and she was like an older Croatian woman, and Croatian and Serbian are the same language.
Oh, they are.
We speak with different accents, but they're the same language. It would be like a British person and an American person talking. Like, they're completely mutually intelligible. And this older lady was Croatian, and I could tell, like, English was difficult for her. So I spoke to her in Serbian.
Yeah.
And she, like, refused. And I was like, and it was, like, my first time being exposed to that. And I was like, wait, this doesn't make any sense. Like, and she kept going back to English, and but, like, was struggling with it. And I was like, we speak the same language. And I think she heard my accent and she was like, I don't think so, bitch. But I would like to state that is absolutely not everyone. And like I said, I know I have Croatian friends and I know people who like their mom is Serbian and their dad's Croatian.
Yeah.
And then Bosnia, I feel like is like, they're like the party people.
They're okay, just so they're like
fun. They're fun. Oh, they're very fun. They're all fun. Like, all Balkan people are fun. They all just like to party, and they're generally, like, pretty hot. And
you're like, you know, yeah. Every Balkan person, every single one is so hot. Like, me.
Well, it's like the UK. They're either, like, 6 foot tall, like, well, no one in the UK is 6 feet tall. But you know what I mean? Like, they're either, like, beautiful or they're just, like, scary, scary ladies and men. Scary ladies and men.
Yeah, that you're like, what? Oh, is this a character from a fable that lives under a bridge? Or is this a gorgeous person?
Yeah, exactly. There's just like rough people that have seen some shit. And then there's like supermodels.
Okay, so if Bosnia's fun and like more, maybe that's like the Dominican Republic. Do they speak a little bit more? Like which one speaks the cleanest, the most like proper?
I think Serbian.
Of course you think Serbian.
Because, I don't know, maybe it's just like what I'm used to. Because okay. I think like other stuff sounds like goofier to you. I don't know.
Okay, but wait. Okay. Croatia. You've offline told me that Croatians think that they're kind of like Argentinian in the sense that Argentinians are like, you know, we're from Argentina, plus we're so much like Italy. And so they like to incorporate the fact that they might have an affinity to Italy. And would you say Croatia is kind of similar to that?
I mean, they are the closest to Italy, so yeah.
So they're like, we're like so close to Western Europe and Italy. And
they're
like
across the Adriatic, like it's Italy on one side and Croatia on the other side.
Okay, so like, and Croatia like, I feel like, okay, so Croatia's like in Argentina. Croatia, I think, is in Argentina.
I guess so, yeah. And then I don't know what Slovenia is very... Okay, so also Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia, and also Montenegro. That's where we all speak the same language. And then you get to like Slovenia, Macedonia, Bulgaria, and they speak different languages.
Oh.
That are like also Slavic languages, but they're different. But then Slovenia is like so like little and pretty and like chic and cute and mountainous. And when I hear Slovenian, I'm like, oh my God, it's like much prettier Serbian.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
So I don't speak Spanish, but I can hear how your Spanish is different from someone else's.
Yeah, I know you
and
do.
And yours is like very funny to me. Because when you said, I remember you would always say the word for gross. You're like, ahko. And I would, and I Googled it once because I was like, oh, she says it all. Like you throw it out when you're like speaking English. And I Googled A-J-C-O. Because you say ahko. And I was like, this is not coming up. This is not a word. And then it was A-S-C-O. And I was like, oh, it's asco. And I don't even fucking speak Spanish. And I was like, this bitch is saying it wrong.
Oh my God. You know what's very funny?
Because you drop your S's.
Yeah, it's very funny because when I think, I don't know if it's you, a you thing, or if it's, if Serbian has similar pronunciation of letters or something, but when you speak fake Spanish, it sounds like Spanish. Can you please, you speak like very little Spanish, but can you just for my sake, just speak fake Spanish right now?
Okay. Just like make up fake Spanish.
Just make up fake Spanish, yeah.
Coloso raquerajeras, arasorrono maquejetas y hallarme la corba la cara corrarón y to caenosos caralla baracarazos sorrajitas y sorrajitas corolla baraga. Abarragano jarabatos.
Dude, that is okay. That sounds like sounds like Catalan to me. Yeah, that's like such a Spanish.
Like a Spain Spanish?
Like a Spain Spanish. I mean, Catalan is obviously not Spanish, but.
Right.
But I don't understand what you're saying. So I'm like, oh, this is.
Because it was fake.
I'm like, oh my God, but that's a real language. How did you get exposed to Spanish? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. I guess this. I just have always loved languages, and I think I have a talent that is like potentially problematic of being really good at like speaking like a fake version of a language. Because I don't know. I went to theater school and I was an actor, and I think I have like a very good ear for it. Like when people can't do accents, it's crazy to me because I'm like, just look at where the person's like putting their tongue and lips, and then do it.
Okay, but what? What I think is funny about your accent is that it's so Spaniard. It's not even like, oh, I turned on The Simpsons in Spanish and by accident, and then I heard Homer like speak. Like I think yours it's is very Spaniard. It's so Spaniard. You even do the shh sound.
I think it's because when you don't actually know what you're saying, it's easiest to do like the most like exaggerated version, which like. Like, you know, like in Spain, they'll do like a TH sound and like, right, the rest of the Spanish-speaking world doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I feel like when you don't know what you're saying, you do like the biggest one. You like when I do an Aussie accent, it's like really over the top. Like, yeah. It's so stupid. Like, it's really out there. And Australian people are like, you sound like you're from New Zealand. And I'm
Yeah.
Yeah, because to me, it sounds wacky.
And for them, it's like, that's not us. This is not
and
us
also,
at all.
I'm like, and I'm like, Americans don't know the difference. So, you know, when I go on stage and do a fake Australian accent, they're like, yeah, sounds good to us.
For you, what do you consider yourself being? Like, if someone was like, what are you? What are you? Like, where are you? Like, not even where are you from? Like, what are you? How would you describe it?
Well, if you ask my boyfriend, I'm an alien creature that hatched from an egg on another planet, or a demon sent from hell.
I like both of those. I personally think you are a demon that was in an egg that was hatched in hell and somehow came up through the ground and it's just giving us joy since you arrived, you know?
I just came up through the sewers and I was like, here I am. No, I identify, like when people ask me that, I'm like, I usually say I'm like, oh, I'm Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Because I grew up from the age of 5 to 25, I was in Canada. So, excuse me. I feel like that's the environment and the culture that like mostly informed who I am. But then the older I get, I feel more connected to my Serbian culture in the way that we talked about earlier, where it's like, I just don't have time for bullshit. And there's like a tough love hardness where like, you know, like if a friend calls me and they're like, something horrible happened. I need to like sleep on your floor for the next 4 weeks. I'll be like, yeah, come on over. Mm-hmm. But I'm not going to like, so things like that matter. I'm like, yeah, of course, no questions asked. But when people just like annoy me in everyday ways, I'm like, I'm going to cut your skin off of your face and feed it to you. Like, get out of my way. I don't know if that answered your question.
Oh, wow, you really are a demon from hell. Okay, I loved the saying that your friend said to you, like, if you have problem and no solution, you don't have problem. What are some other sayings or even words that you wish existed in English, or like you just don't hear it as much when you're in your Canadian sphere, that you're like, oh God, just Serb, like just the Serbs understand this, or like just Serbia uses this, like, you know, what,
yeah,
what
are those? There's a lot that just sound so much more insulting in Serbian.
Oh my God, like what? No,
like there's so many, like, I think it's one of those languages, I don't know if it's the same in Spanish, where like, insults are very like illustrative, like they really paint a picture. It's not just like fuck you or like you're a bitch. It's like a common one, especially that older people will say, is jebem ti sunce.
Jebe, wait, can I try it? Jebe, jebem kin,
jebem,
jebem
ti,
ti
sunce.
Okay, can I guess what it means? Jebem ti sunce, it means why don't you go turn off a campfire with your face.
No.
Oh, so close.
That was a great guess. So good, yeah, yes. Really good guess. Yebem ti sunce means I will fuck your son, but not son, S-O-N, the sun in the sky.
Wait, like, what?
I will fuck the sun that shines on you. Yebem ti sunce, I will fuck your son, S-U-N.
Wait, so it's basically, oh my God, how poetic. It's like, I will fuck your son so that you live in darkness and I'm also fucking it.
Yes, it's amazing.
Wow. Okay, I want another one of these.
And then there's like old people, like my grandma, there's ones that I'm like convinced she makes up, and I love her so much. She's like extremely, she's like a sweet little grandma, but then she opens her mouth and she's like a vulgar, like gutter person. Mm-hmm. So I've heard her say, "Jeba ću ti 100 džukela," which basically means I will fuck 100 of your hounds.
Okay.
Like wild dogs.
Wait, but that one for me, I'm having a little bit of a trouble with, because who is really winning here? If you're,
I don't know. It doesn't sound like she is.
It doesn't sound like your grandma is. What do you think that means? Like, were hounds important in Serbia? Like,
I don't think so. And I think Drukela, I'm gonna go to Google Translate right now. It's not dog. It's just like mutt. Yeah, a mutt.
Oh, it's a mutt.
It's like a mutt. Yeah, like a.
Well, do you think maybe mutt? It's like...
So a hound.
Well, okay. Well, see, that one is a little... That one's a harder for me to find the poetic meaning behind, other than like the pure and utter chaos. Like, that is just pure and utter chaos.
But wait, let me tell you my favorite, which is not even like mean words. It's just so... If you call someone, if you say to someone that... Onye dno dna.
Wait, let me try and say it before you tell me what it means, because once you tell me what it means, dno I probably want to say... Dno dna. Dno dna. Dno dna.
Dnodna.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a little, like a sound in the background of a Katy Perry chorus. Dnodna. Dnodna.
You know what? It kind of is. Because it means the bottom of the bottom.
The bottom of the bottom.
Dnodna. When you tell someone, this person is dnodna. Like they're like a bottom feeder. Like they are the bottom of the bottom.
They're the bottom feeders of the bottom feeders.
And I love it. It's so simple. It's like not a bad. And those are like almost better because there's no like inherent swear. It's just like you're the bottom of the bottom. Dnodna.
That's actually worse.
Yeah.
It, like I'd rather have someone tell me that they're going to fuck all my hounds. You know, hounds. I'm like, okay, go have at it. Like, you know, I'm not going to stop you. But if someone tells me I'm the bottom of the bottom, I think I would need like to schedule an emergency therapy session immediately. I'd be like, oh my God, like what have I done wrong in my life?
Right.
But I do think, you know, I think you were a Spaniard in your past life. And I think it's very fitting because I think Spanish from Spain, their groserías, their bad words and their insults are, in my opinion, the most vulgar.
I love that.
Like they say like, que te folle un pez, which is like, I hope you get fucked by a fish. Me cago en tus muertos, which means I shit on all your dead ancestors.
That's a good one.
I think it's very funny, for example, hostia, they say hostia, which is the wafer you get in the communion.
Mm-hmm.
And I never, like, I guess, like, you know, I'm Jewish, so I'm like, I don't understand what hostia could mean, but it's such a Catholic country that, like, just saying communion wafer is a bad word.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you learn so much about a culture with their bad words and their curses, because it, you find out what is taboo. Is there anything like religious and like, you know, in like Serbian vernacular, or is there any other word that like is very specifically Serbian? Like, for example, this is gross. I don't want to say it.
Oh my God, now you have to say it.
Okay. So Spaniards also say like, me cago en la leche, which means like, I shit on the milk.
Okay. So is it about like tainting something that's like pure?
The point is that the Spaniards love the verb of to shit on. And to like shit. Mm-hmm. that for them is like the most disrespectful. And it's so gross. Let me look. Me cago en la leche, meaning. Okay. Oh, this is what I was afraid of. Okay. Leche also means something gross.
Does it mean cum?
Yes. It does.
First of all, cum is not gross.
Okay, sorry. I mean, I've never, you know, dainty lady. I have, as you know, some of my friends lovingly say, boca rancho, which means like really, like I'm very vulgar. I don't think I've ever said that word on this this podcast. Yep.
Well, we've covered a lot of bad words.
And I think that's literally what it means. Like that is like, I think, the most vulgar saying I've ever heard in my life. Me cago en la leche. It's so
shit in milk.
It's so, well, the milk is like, it has that other meaning. I can't even say it. So it's like, it's so disgusting.
Do you want me
it's
to
so,
say it?
No, please don't say it. It like makes me, it's so gross. So it's like even grosser. It's even like more intense.
Right.
And I think that like, I don't know what the reason is behind it, but I do you think that the grossest one for you guys is I like fuck your son? Because that's still kind of beautiful. That's still like poetic.
I know, it's like kind of poetic. Well, no, there's just like, I'll fuck your mother and like, yeah, you know, those like classic ones. But those just aren't like, they don't evoke the kind of image. Like, I just picture someone like sticking their dick into like a flaming ball of gas.
Oh my God.
That is the son.
That is the son.
But yeah, no, I mean, there's like calling someone a celiac is considered pretty insulting. Celiac is a peasant. And so it's like, if you behave in, you know, an uncouth way, or you're kind of, your behavior is like a little trashy, you would be called a celiac. Or prostak, or prostakinya, which means like simpleton.
Ooh, so there, maybe it's like, you know, you guys went through communism, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense that like there's these words that are related to your status in society, after you were all in the same status forcibly.
And that actually, when you were asking earlier if there's a lot of like, if there's any like religious or like religion adjacent insults, there might be. There's none that I can think of, but I think maybe it's because it was under communism for so long.
Oh, that, like, my God, you're right.
You know, and communism is obviously like anti-religious.
What is it that the Communist Manifesto says? Religion is the opiate of the people? I think it's that.
I don't know.
Anyway, yeah, that makes so much sense.
But my brother once described, and this is so funny to me and so true, like people ask, they're like, oh, you're Serbian. Like the religion is like Serbian Orthodox. Like, were you raised that way? And I'm like, I was not christened. My brother was not christened. I've been to church like maybe like two times in my whole life. And my brother once described us as being raised as militantly secular. And I'm like, it's so true.
Oh, wow. I never thought of that. Wait, so is your grandma religious at all? Like,
not really. Like, she like prays before going to bed. But she also like is down with the gays and like swears so much and, you know, was divorced in like the 50s and, you know, she's like a very cool lady. So I think she like believes in God, but I don't think she's like religious.
Really. Okay. I find this fascinating. So this sort of like forced, separation from religion because of communism, do you think it has anything to do with how okay your parents were with you being gay at all? Like, I don't want to like thank you know, the oppression of communism for their open. But I'm just trying to like wrap my head around it a little bit.
Well, actually, my parents and a lot of people in their generation, the type of communism, and I'm not going to get into the details because, like, to be perfectly honest, I'm not, like, that well-versed mm-hmm. in it. But it wasn't, like, in the USSR. It was, like, communism light. Mm. It was, like, relations with the West were, like, highly encouraged. People would go on, like, constant vacations. But it was, like, you would go on these, like, company vacations where, like, there would be, like, it was, like, a field trip for adults that mm-hmm. you work with. So I guess now we have, like, team building. But, like, and, you know, my parents describe it as this, like, total bliss. Like, it was a very different type of communism. But anyway, what was your question? Oh, yeah, is that why they were okay with it? I don't know if that's why. I think they just, like, you know, like, lived through a war and saw their country fall apart, that they're just, like, this is what I love about Balkan people is they just, I mean, obviously a lot of them can be homophobic, but there's generally this, like, you have, when you've gone through something like that, you know how to prioritize things and you're like, this is what matters and this doesn't. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you've like been through shit. Mm-hmm. So I think they were just like, okay.
Whatever.
Whatever.
Whatever. As long as you like my cardboard coffee table, I don't care. I don't want any more talk about Christmas tree and shut up. I don't care what you do with your life. Yeah. And that's it.
Exactly.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 bacon bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the bacon cheese slider, 1921 bacon cheese slider, or chicken bacon ranch slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 bacon bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
It seems like you feel connected to Latino culture in some way. Like, I feel like you vibe. And every time you're on Instagram and you see something Balkan or you see something Latino that is very, like, it can be either or, but you're like, oh my God, this is your family.
Yeah.
what is that for you? Like, how would you define that?
Okay, I guess the best way I can describe it is, like, I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, with Latino people and with Balkan people, there's, like, an immediacy and, like, a directness to, like, this is how I'm feeling, you're gonna know. But mm-hmm. not, but in a very different way from, like, you know, like, an American or a Canadian might be like, oh, let's, like, discuss our feelings and, like, work through something. It's not that. It's like, I'm telling you this now. Mm-hmm. And it could be a good thing or a bad thing, you know? So I think, like, when there's, like, you know, like, things to celebrate, I feel like Balkans and Latinos, they just, like, go hard and you go like 0 to 60, like when mm-hmm. there's a party or when you're mad at someone, it's the same thing. You like just go 0 to 60. There's no like gray area. And I don't know, does that making sense?
Yeah, I think that there's like this rawness of existence that, and you know, there's also like studies done where your second language tends to be more correlated to like perhaps a more logical way of communicating because you already learned a language and you were young when you learned it. So you know, these guttural feelings, you connect more directly with your mother tongue. And mm-hmm. then you can have more logical conversations perhaps about your emotions in the language you learned
because
second.
Because you learned it. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because you learned it second, which is my case. Like when I'm crying and I'm like, you know, and then afterwards I'm like, you know what really triggered me into crying? Yeah. As I, like, I think that's part of it. But I also think it's inherent. There's this like je ne sais quoi of having to inhabit different cultures that I don't know how to completely define. But I completely feel myself almost like changing, not who I am at my core, but maybe like the mode, like my microphone in front of me has different like modes right now, like for when I'm in a like a bigger room, for when I'm with two people. And that's sort of like how I feel when I go into Spanish or English, or where I'm talking to a Venezuelan or where I'm not talking to a Venezuelan. And it's like switching a piece of my brain on and off. And I do agree that there's something in when I describe things or myself, whatever, in Spanish, I feel like it's more, yeah, just like very not over explanatory or introspective. I'm just like,
right,
me siento mal, like I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's the same for me. For me, it's more like, like when I like feel Serbian, it's not so much to me like when I'm switching from one language to the other. It's just like, I think like the way I view things. And this is what I meant earlier when I, like, as I get older, it's becoming clearer to me. Like, even though, like, I grew up in Canada, like, I grew up speaking English. Like, I don't remember learning English. I, like, spoke it since I was so little. So I've always, like, felt very Canadian. But then I remember, like, when I first moved to New York City, I was a nanny for this family. And the mother, like, was a therapist and was very, like, you know, like, had her way that she wanted to like raise her kids, and it was, you know, like talking about their feelings, which is like great. But one day the little boy like asked me for something that we just like didn't have. He was like, I want a hot dog. And I was like, well, we don't have a hot dog, but like this is what I was told to prepare for you. And so he had like a tantrum where like he would just go on the living room floor and like cry and like stomp his fists. And I was just like, okay. And so I just like opened a newspaper and read it and completely ignored him. And he just like got bored because no one was paying attention to his tantrum. And I knew that would happen. And I feel like that was a very like Eastern European way of being like, no kid, I'm in charge here. And his mom came home and she would always be like, did anything happen today that I should know about? So I obviously had to tell her. And so I'm like, yeah, he wanted a hot dog. I told him we didn't have one. So like he had this little tantrum and she goes, what did you do? And I went, well, I didn't do anything. And she goes, well, was he upset? And I went, yeah. And that like blew her mind. She was like, but, and she's like, and then what? I'm like, and then he got bored of being upset. Like, that's it. I didn't like do anything. He just, and so I think when it comes to stuff like that, I feel very like Eastern European in how I deal with problems. But the funny thing is, linguistically, like the only Serbian I really speak in my day-to-day life is like with my mom and dad on the phone. And so we discuss, you know, like basic ass shit, like how was your day? How's the weather? And so as a result, when I go to Serbia and I'm like going into a shop or whatever, I find myself, I'm like very formal because I think I'm like overcompensating. And so I'll be like, good afternoon. May I please have one of these items? Like that's how I, and then I listen to myself and I'm like, what the fuck?
So, for me, I think I'm formal. Wait,
is
it because you're overcompensating because you're anxious, or do you speak formally with your parents?
No, I don't speak formally with my parents. I think it's because I'm trying to make up for the fact that I'm like I'm fluent, but I'm like, there's simply like words that will not come out of my mouth in like 6 months, you know? Like,
yeah.
And so I want to like form sentences in like a very correct way, I guess. And so I guess I'll just be like very formal. And the reactions are like usually, especially if it's in a shop or like a bakery or whatever, and it's like older ladies, they're always so like taken by it.
They're like, oh my God, like, oh, what a polite, so young respectful. Man. Yes. So Daniel's, my husband's father is from a small town called Orso Marzo in Italy. And when he grew up, he didn't even speak Italian. He'd speak his dialect, which was very different from Italian. And then he left at the age of 6, I think. And him and his mom and his siblings talk in this dialect. And they went back. And it's been many years. And the new generation doesn't speak the dialect. And if they do, the dialect has been mixed in with Italian. So the purest form of the dialect, ironically, is someone that only lived there until they were 5. Right. Because it's like just stuck in time. That dialect has no other influence other than itself.
And then they took it elsewhere. And yes. So it remained pure.
It remained pure. So when I was little, when I moved to the States, because I was here from when I was like 6 to 12 or whatever, I had to move back to Venezuela, and I was like really nervous, right? Because I wanted to blend in. Like, I spoke Spanish, but I was like, but I'm not cool. So I started school, and I started talking like what I thought was slang, like, oh my God, sí, ese pana es panadería mío, which is like, which roughly translates to like, yeah, that guy's like my bakery, which is like my very good friend. And people would be like, what? You're what? And I'm like, panadería. And then I find out that like, that was cool for boomers in the like so 80s funny. To say. Like, no young person was saying that word. So my like slang, much like, you know, this old historic dialect in Italy, is like, I have a very pure boomer slang, mm-hmm. Venezuelan slang. That's that is so no funny. Longer used.
Something similar happened to me. Like, I don't, like, when I go to Belgrade, which is where like all my family in Serbia is, which is the capital, there's like Belgrade slang, and then there's like certain neighborhoods that has its own slang, and I don't know any of it. And so I have a good friend who lives there, and I've known him since the day I was born. So like, every few years when we were kids, we would like, or sometimes every summer, we would go back to Serbia. So I would see him like once a year, like throughout my childhood. And anyway, we left in like 1994. And so one summer I was there, and we were like, I don't know, in our like late teens or early 20s. And I said, moram da šoram, which is like, I have to take a piss. And I like got up and went to pee. And he was like, I haven't heard someone call it that since I was five on a playground in like 1995. And I was like, really? And he's like, and he just thought it was so funny that like my slang for like having a pee was like stuck in this, like, as what a 5-year-old would say on a playground. And I was like, oh, is that? And he's like, no, never say that again. He's like, you sound like a dumb kid.
Well, I feel like it's so diasporas, and in Serbia went through, like, all of the Balkans went through like a big diaspora. I remember having a lot of Bosnian friends in Boston. Shout out to Nadja. And I feel like it affects the way that language and culture like sort of remains almost like pristine, or I don't want to say pristine as in that it's better, but it's almost like trapped in time. Mm-hmm. It's like, it goes to a museum of sorts.
Right.
It stops being like, influenced.
And I go back sometimes, and what Serbian people do, which like drives me crazy, and drives my dad crazy because he was a linguist, is they'll just like take English, like there's so many English words now that are just like thrown into Serbian, like, oh my God, meeting. Like
what? Oh, meeting?
Meeting. But I'm like, we have a word for meeting, and it's sastanak. I'm like,
oh, really?
Like, why would you say meeting? I'm like, the word, and so they'll just take English words, like, oh, I can't think of other ones in this moment, but like there's so many.
I want to see, because there's some English words in Spanish that I'm like, oh, that's just a word in English, like email.
Mm-hmm. We say email. Meeting, email, computer.
Computer? Really?
Oh, okay. But you know what's funny? I'm sure there's Spanish equivalents of this. In Serbia, every cereal will be called cornflakes.
Oh, same. Exactly the same.
Cornflakes.
We say cornflakes. It was like
K-O-N-F-L-E-X. Cornflakes.
The only difference is that instead of the X, it's the conflay. I. A cornflake.
That's so funny. And you call every cereal that, right?
See? Like, it can be freaking Cheerios and it's still cornflake.
That's so funny. Also, this is a funny, like, I don't know. I guess it's like maybe like a class thing. But I remember when I would go... Like I said, all my family lives in the city, but we have relatives in like smaller towns and stuff. And so I would go, and some of them are like, it's truly like a village. And I would go as a kid, and they'd be like, would you like some juice? And I'm like, oh, sure. And I'm thinking like, oh my God, I'm on a farm. I'm going to get like freshly squeezed orange juice. And they would just like pour me a Coca-Cola.
What?
Like, just not juice. And they would call that juice, but not in the city. In the city, it'll be like, yeah, like juice is like... Sok is the word for juice, but you know, some people they say juice.
They go like, oh, juice. But wait, juice. Do they call Coca-Cola juice?
No. I've never, like, in the city, if I was offered juice, it would be juice. And then in the country, and it happened more than once, they were like, do you want some juice? And it was like Coke or Pepsi. And I was like, so that one I really cannot explain.
That is That is bizarre. Probably one person saw the word juice on like one label and was like, any high fructose corn syrup drink in America is juice, and we're getting like, you know, imported a bunch of this crap. So I guess it's all juice. It's like in Venezuelan Spanish, we have this term for like when you really want to, when you try some at hard at something, you say echale pichón, and it came from the, not the cities, but like these towns that had a well in the middle of the town. They, I don't know at what date they like installed these pumps so that you had to press a button and water would come out of the well, and it would say push on the, like push on to be able to press the water out. And it became echale pichón, or, you know, push to turn it on is like, yeah, you got to try hard. But it came from English. Like, I thought it was echale pichón, and it, like, bisté. We don't, it, B-I-S-T-E-K is beefsteak, but it means like a steak, bisté.
Yes, yes. And we say beefsteak.
You say beefsteak?
Which is beefsteak, and it's steak, yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. It's so similar. The way that, like,
I bet
English...
there's so many similar ones. We also steal so much from French and just, like, pronounce it in a Serbian way.
Wait, like
Like garderobe, garderoba, like a closet or like a wardrobe.
Oh, a garderobe.
Garderobe, garderoba, or cravat, cravata.
We say corvata.
Yeah, there's like a, there's a lot of French ones that we just pronounce differently.
This is very funny for me, but in Venezuelan Spanish, I think almost exclusively, we call toilet paper papel toilet, but we say it in a French act, like toilet, okay? Papel toile. And the first time I was with like a bunch of Colombians, they were like papel higiénico, which means hygienic paper. That's what they call it. But Venezuelans were like, no, no. We're going to call it papel toile.
But yeah, how do you say just toilet? Would you say toile?
No, we say poseta.
Oh, that sounds like a delicious dessert.
Poseta. Poseta.
I'm gonna,
but wait.
I'm going to walk into a bakery and I'm going to be like, una poseta, por favor.
Favor, una pocheta.
But toilet. Like,
but like other countries call it inodoro.
Okay, what does that
mean? Which
means,
it sounds like in odor. That's what it sounds like to me. I hate that word. Inodoro, ew.
Yeah, we say like similar pocheta. For toilet paper, toilet papir.
Toilet papir.
Toilet papir.
Okay, all right. Listen, I have to go watch Killers of the Flower Moon in... Okay. A few minutes. So we have to wrap up this amazing, informative conversation.
I do want to tell you my favorite Serbian expression that I think is like so cute that my grandma says all the time.
Okay, let's, and so, then, and then, but wait, but you have to teach me how to say it before we log off.
Okay, well, it's sort of an easy one because there's, it's long, but there's no like weird accents. So there's this like belief that like grandmas will say to, and parents will say to little kids where it's like, you have to, it's not good to leave the house in the morning not having eaten anything. So they'll be like, you don't have to have like a big breakfast, but like you have to have something in your mouth. And the expression is so that the wind doesn't blow into an empty mouth. Which I think is like,
oh
so
my God,
nice.
That's so cute.
I don't know why.
Wait, so it's like, please eat something so that the wind doesn't blow into an empty mouth. Please.
You don't want the wind blowing into an empty mouth. Dati ne duva vetar u prazna usta.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I'm going to write it for you in the chat and then you'll be able to do it.
Oh my God. Okay. I'm really bad at this.
It so Spanish.
Okay. And then I'm going to write to you a goodbye that my grandmother says to me, or my grandma used to say to me.
Oh, wait. I typo. Hold on.
I thought you were supposed to be fluent.
There we go.
Okay. Dati na duve vetar u prazna usta.
You sound like an old man from like the countryside, but yes.
That's perfect. That
Dati
means na duve
vetar u prazna usta is how you said it.
Dati na, that sounds, you're saying it as if I know what is good or bad. That sounds perfect to me.
I'm going to say it how you say it. I'm going to say it how you said it. So it's dati na duve vetar u prazna usta. And you said dati na duve vetar u prazna usta.
Okay, so you just want me to be more laissez-faire, blasé about it. Okay,
that's basically
that dina tuva vetar u prazna usta.
Yeah, now you sound like a slutty girl. which we love.
Oh, perfect. Just that's that we love. Okay, now you have to say what my grandma used to say to me before I would hang up the phone every day.
Que Dios te bendiga, mija. Did I say it right?
Terrible.
Really?
No.
Bendiga. Oh, bendiga. Que Dios te bendiga, mija.
Te. Que Dios te bendiga.
Que Dios te. Oh, this is weirdly hard. Que Dios te. Because te and then be. Que Dios te bendiga, mija.
That was good. You sound great.
Thank you. What did I say? Something
you
about
you sound
God?
Like a grandma. It means...
and you sound like a grandpa. It's perfect.
It means may God praise you or may God like look after you.
Isn't mija like my daughter?
Yeah. But I didn't realize how heavy that saying was until like I had to explain it to an English speaker. But it's like basically saying like an older person saying bye. Que Dios te bendiga.
Right. Like, bless you,
it's
my
like
child.
When you, exactly. Like, when you sneeze and someone says, bless you, I don't think they literally mean, like, oh, my God, yeah. May God bless thee of thou's illness. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, bless you.
But on the other hand, when someone says, I'm going to fuck your son, they really mean it.
They really mean it in the many definitions of the word son. Well, Philip, thank you so much for joining me and for insulting my Serbian and teaching me how to say the most horrific curses in it.
You're so welcome.
I will cherish this for the rest of my life.
See you in Serbia. You would love it.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.